Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Om Adyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So, we begin tonight's talk on the why Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya. What are the circumstances surrounding this? So it's very interesting. We have to go back about 526 years ago when Lord Chaitanya appeared. And during that time, and going back further, we find from historical evidence that it was a time in which persons, instead of being involved or being absorbed in spiritual activities, they were very much, especially in the area of Navadvip, which is the area where Lord Chaitanya was born, specifically in Mayapur. But in that particular area, people were totally forsaking their spiritual heritage. And they had become very much absorbed and very much ensconced or entranced in non-devotional activities. Their whole life was very much partying. Every day was a new party to drink and to eat, to get filled up, to babble, talk gossip. There was no mention of anything really spiritual going on. Yes, they would go to the temple, but going to the temple was simply a ritual that you performed in order to look and appear spiritual or religious so that you had some social standing. You went to the temple, so he goes to the, he's religious. So it had no real value. Life then was life, nothing more than self-indulgence, sense gratification, self-love, and pampering to the senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and especially to the tongue. And consequently, people became more and more miserable. They suffered more, because when you give so much time, so much attention, so much gratification to the senses, to the body, then pleasure has a counterbalancing point. And the counterbalancing point is suffering. The more you use pleasure, the more you enjoy, the more you suffer. They counterbalance each other. So, therefore, people were not very much involved in the principle of devotional service or devotional love or bhakti yoga. So it happened to be in that area, Shantipur, Advaita Acharya, he lived there, he's an incarnation of Mahavishnu, and he saw the misery that people were undergoing, and it was so terrible, and he sympathized so greatly, and he wanted to relieve it. And he himself, though, felt incapable of doing that, even though he was preaching, even though he was telling people about Krishna. But undoubtedly, the amount of potency that needed to be released was not enough as far as he was concerned. So what he said, in order for this to be relieved, the Lord himself, Sri Krishna, has to come down. And if Krishna comes down bringing with him all the potencies that he has, the power, the greatness, the glory, that when he sets in motion the desire to honor God, glorify God, surrender to God, submit to God, and explains and helps and shows by example how people can experience the wonderful ecstasy and joy and bliss that spiritual life brings, which doesn't have the miseries, the sufferings, and the troubles that sense gratification brings, which, as I said, is of the body, so many diseases, disease of the knees, disease of the shoulders, the nose, the eyes, the ears, the every part gets disease, and we're in pain and we're suffering. So just to have a little pleasure of the tongue or the ears or the eyes or the nose or the mind. So Advaita Acharya What he did is he took Ganges water and he used it to worship Krishna. And he also worshipped with Tulsi buds. Krishna is very fond of Tulsi Devi, extremely. So if you have a Tulsi plant and you offer a leaf to Lord Krishna, and assuming that you follow the principles that Lord Krishna set down when he was here, it's a sure trip back to Godhead. That's how fond of Tulsi Devi, Lord Krishna is. So therefore, it is not a waste. All one does is take a little leaf and offers it to his deity of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, and a blessing is eked. So he did that for a certain amount of time, but he didn't just offer it. He cried out. He shouted. He bellowed and begged, "Please, Krishna, come, come, come. You're needed. Without you, the misery will go on and on and on ad infinitum." So it just happened to be that in 1486, around in February, was a time when it was the time for Lord Krishna to appear as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we know, there are four ages. There's the Satya, an age is often called a Yuga. And the Yuga cycle is made up of Satya Yuga, which is the age of truthfulness or peacefulness, often referred to as a golden age. So that exists for 1,728,000 years, and that was long past. The important point of it is that the people there are peaceful. They're kind. They have all good virtues. And consequently, the way for self-realization in those days was by how? Anybody remember? Yes, meditation. So by meditating on the Supreme Lord, they could ultimately come to the point of a high level of devotional service through meditation. So this was the way in Satya Yuga, or the age of the Golden Age. The next was Treta Yuga, also the incarnation who comes in Satya Yuga. His name is Hamsa, H-A-M-S-A. And the Treta Yuga, which goes for 286,000 years. The name of the incarnation of that is of that period is Vishnu. And the means in which people achieved God realization at that age was by sacrifices, elaborate sacrifices. This was the means. And in the third era, or the third epic. Yeah, well, that's the Sanskrit word. I'm giving you the English words, too. I mean, we don't have Sanskrit scholars all over the place like yourself, man. So in the third Yuga, it is known as the Dwapara Yuga, and that is the age in which Lord Krishna himself appeared. And he appears in a dark or blackish color. And in that age, he appears as a great, he comes and he becomes, first he's a cowherd boy. We have to have the child out, please. Thank you. He comes as a cowherd boy. And when he's close to about 11 or 12 years old, but he looked 15 years old, he then goes to Mathura and becomes a warrior and becomes a great general and distinguishes himself for the very purpose for which he comes. He comes, as in his own words, he says, "Whatever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion at that time, I descend to this world to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, the criminals. I myself appear to establish the principles of religion." So that's the reason he comes, to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion. Krishna says, "I myself appear millennium after millennium." So this is the external reason that the Lord comes, because goodness has grown weak. Goodness has grown weak, and righteousness is disappearing, and vice is becoming more prominent. So he comes to eliminate all this. And, of course, in the Kurukshetra war, many, many of the demoniac kings were killed during that war. And so that a new reign took over or took place under the leadership or emperorship of King. Anybody remember the name of the king? Yes, Yudhishthir. Thank you. So a society has to exist on four pillars: truthfulness, austerity, mercy, and what's the fourth one? Cleanliness. Yes, if you eliminate these four, what happens is that the society becomes chaotic. It does not function smoothly. People become like animals, savage, barbaric. So Krishna came to make everyone civilized and to establish the Varnashram system in a fashion that it is supposed to. So when Krishna was being named, when he was just born, just appeared, Garga Muni, who performed the name-giving ceremony, said to Yashoda and Nanda that this child has had many births before. He has had a and he has come in different colors. He came in the white form, or Hamsa, in the Satya Yuga. He came in a reddish form, in the form of Lord Vishnu. That was in the Treta Yuga. And in Dwapara Yuga, he came in a blackish form. And in Kali Yuga, he will come in a yellowish or golden form. So that is the prediction, and that is called the Yuga Avatar. Yuga meaning, as I said before, it is a period. And that period is the Kali Yuga period, often referred to as the age of quarrel, the age of friction, the age of argument. Hardly can people speak for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes before without getting into an argument these days. It's difficult. So please remove the child. Otherwise, I'm going to get into an argument with the parents. True to Kali Yuga, of course. So that was the situation going back 526 years ago. So people were in a rather self-gratifying, self-indulgent position. Therefore, as I already said, Advaita Acharya, he called down for Krishna to come and to bring peace, to bring love, to bring devotion, to bring yoga, union, connection, relationship with the Supreme Lord instead of with the body and the senses. That was his call. And finally, it became time for Lord Krishna to appear in his yellow or golden form. And as I said, it was on February 18th, 1486, and that is in the solar calendar, not the lunar calendar, because today obviously is not February 18th. In the lunar calendar, the date changes from year to year. Anyway, when it was time for Krishna to appear, he chose a time when there was a very auspicious conjunction of various planets. In addition to that, there would be a full moon, and in addition to that, there would be a lunar eclipse. So when it was time, as I said, for him to appear, everything was all ready. And before he would appear, though, Krishna sent all the persons who would be his parents, persons who would be his friends, his companions, his servants, persons who would be his associate devotees. They were all sent in advance of him so that when he would come and he would begin to put in motion the Sankirtan movement, which is what he came to do. Sankirtan meaning congregational chanting. And this would be the means. This is the means, what we call the Yuga Dharma, that people chant the holy name as we were doing it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is also mentioned in the Brihan Narada Purana, To those who want to achieve God realization in this age, chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. There's no other way. No other way. No other way. Yes, there are other ways. But for us in the holy, Kali Yuga, when tempers flare and arguments are many, that is not, meditation is not the way. You cannot keep your mind concentrated when there is agitation, when there is worry, when there is anxiety, when there is uncertainty, when there is doubt. Can't focus. And even when in the next age, the Treta Yuga, doing these elaborate ceremonies, if you make a mistake, then the benefit is lost. So if you can't concentrate, then you may make mistakes. Same thing in Dwapara Yuga. You do various types of ceremonies, various types of prayers. And if you do not concentrate, what happens is that benefits are lost. So in Kali Yuga, it was made much easier for us because of our lack of firm, intense concentration. In fact, it is mentioned by one of the sages, there's no method of religion more sublime for this age of Kali than the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is so important. Here's the reason. Krishna gave us a very special benediction. He injected his potency of spirituality into the name itself, so that when we chant the name, we come in contact or associate with Krishna. In fact, if we shake hands, one hand holds the other and there's contact. So when there is contact, we extract from each other some of the warmth or the coolness. So when we contact and associate with the Supreme Lord through his name, Hare Krishna, we extract his virtues, we extract his peace, we extract his love, we extract his goodness, his sweetness. All those things come to us as a result of the chanting. And the purer the chanting is, the better the chanting is, the more concentrated the chanting is, the greater the benefit one gets, and the faster one makes advancement in spiritual life. For example, a person may just chant, trying to catch a train real fast, so he has to get finished before so he doesn't miss the train. Or you get the persons who really couldn't care less, but they want to feel religious. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So you don't make too much benefit, but everybody gets benefited. And that's, again, the glory of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Krishna, that everyone gets benefited by just even chanting it, even if you don't even chant it properly and perfectly. As he says in the Shikshastra, all glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. What comes next? Accumulated for years. All glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. And something else. What's that? And extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction of humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. And it is the life of all transcendental knowledge and enables us to taste the nectar for which we're always anxious. So this is what happens is that, and then he goes on to say, one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble, except, oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. Isn't that wonderful that you can even chant it and still get benefit? But of course, we shouldn't go out of our way to not do it properly. We should try to do it properly and get the maximum benefits in the 2 hours that we're chanting. So Lord Chaitanya would be very merciful, very kind, very compassionate. And so this very beautiful prayer, we recite this especially during the time when we offer our prayer. I offer my humble obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other incarnation of God, even Krishna himself, because he is more magnanimous than any other incarnation of God. And why is he more magnanimous? Because he is spreading pure love of God. Yes, Krishna gave pure love of God, but he gave it with certain restrictions, which I won't go into because that's like another lecture. But there were restrictions, whereas Lord Chaitanya, he gave it out when he came into this world. He would give it out to everyone, rich or poor, black or white, red or yellow, no matter whether you're stupid, whether you're smart. He just gave it out unflinchingly and indiscriminately so that everyone could develop pure love of the Lord just by hearing the name. And in certain places, he released certain potency, so that when persons, they heard it from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would become very ecstatic, very blissful, very happy, and very peaceful. And to top that, whenever they would tell it to someone else, they would feel blissful, they would feel peaceful, they would feel joyful. So it went on like a chain reaction. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went down to South India, that's how he was able to convert millions and millions of people by this special potency, which he did not manifest in Bengal. So getting back to the early part, so when it was time for Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's father, Jagannath Mishra, and his mother would be Shachi Devi. So Jagannath Mishra said that in a dream I saw the Lord enter my heart. And then I saw him go from my heart to your heart, he said to his wife. And she says, yes, she says, I feel many sublime and amazing things happen. When I look around the room, I sometimes see demigods all seemingly waiting for something. They're just playing the part of mother and a father. They're not knowing that God is coming. But the demigods, they know because it's the predicted time. Anyway, finally the time came for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear, and he appeared. He appeared at that time that I had already mentioned, during the eclipse, during the full moon night. And it was a time when, interestingly, when there is an eclipse, people go into the Ganges water in order to protect themselves from some of the bad vibes of the eclipse. And what do they do? Does anybody remember what they do? You've been there during eclipses? They chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And they don't chant loud, screaming. Protection is assured. Definitely. So, that's what happened. Now, it was foreshadowing the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to take birth at a time when chanting was going on, when people are shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. And he did. So, and another thing is that when he appeared, it was noticed on his feet that all the marks of Lord Vishnu were all present on the feet of this little baby. So, Jagannath Mishra, he called Neelam Bar Chakravarti, who was a big astrologer and who happens to be the father of Shachi Mata, and he predicted that he would become the great avatar for this age. And he gave him the name Vishvambar, which means one who maintains, one who sustains, and one who protects. So his name originally was Vishvambar, but it came to be known as Nimai. And then later on, Nimai Pandit, because he was so scholarly and so well-read and so knowledgeable in the scriptures and in Sanskrit. So that was the beginning part of his... this is the external part. And so what he would do, though, is that when he was a baby, and he would cry... and cry loudly. When some of the mothers, women who came to see the baby would come, and they would come to bring their gifts, and they would start to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he would stop crying. So as soon as they stopped chanting, he would cry again. It was kind of like a competition going on. The more they chanted, the more he listened. The less they chanted, the more he cried. So that was the way he got them to chant. Again, foreshadowing what was to take place in the future. His future, that he would be encouraging persons, that he would be enlivening persons, he would be enthusing persons to chant this Hare Krishna mantra. So right from the very get-go, from the very beginning, he was already encouraging. And then as he grew up, as he became a child, he was encouraging everybody to chant the holy name of the Lord. Wherever he would go, chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Later on, he became a teacher. And he taught Sanskrit in a very unique way. He would relate all the letters to some pastime of Krishna. He wanted everyone to talk and think about the philosophy and the pastimes of Krishna. As he said, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee. Offer your obeisances, worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. He mentions this. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Now, whoever has that wonderful tune, I'm going to ask a favor. Keep the tune going, but get a Hare Krishna tune. Then we can all join the tune, have a little pause, and I'll continue with the letter. They do sell them someplace. That way you can remember the holy name often. Okay, thank you very much. We'll appreciate if you turn off your cell phones. So going on with this very wonderful life of Lord Chaitanya, as he grew up, he taught Sanskrit and he taught everywhere he went, wherever he wanted, and he encouraged people to chant the holy name. So that was the this is the external reason. He wanted to get people to chant, because the more they would chant, the more they would become purified. It's a little like, as I mentioned in the Shikshastra prayers, oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all... glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life. So the dust that's covering the soul, by chanting the holy name, that thick dust is being removed little by little by little. It is that thick dust which results in our being angry, having anger, lust, greed, envy, illusion, gluttony, all of these different things, hatred, these different emotions which literally tear us apart and do not allow us to be peaceful and happy and joyful. So therefore, as that dust is removed, just think about it, the soul is covered with dust, the dust that I just mentioned, ignorance, illusion, which results in those different emotions. So as the dust is removed, eventually there's no more dust. And what is there is the pure consciousness. And in the pure consciousness, what we have is nothing else, nothing but the glorification of God, the serving of God, the surrender to God, the submission to God, the honoring of God. All of you are here because you've all done some good, wonderful works. And those wonderful works have resulted in some of the dirt being taken off and bringing you to this temple, so that more and more dust will come off and more love for God will develop, because that's what the real goal of life is. And that's the second part of today's talk. The second part of Lord Chaitanya coming here, appearing in this world, is that there are three, I've just given the external reason. This is now known as the interior or internal reason, the personal reason. So when Krishna in Vrindavan, he would be with the gopis of Vrindavan, and he had much affection for them because they loved him very purely. They loved him intensely to such an extent that those gopis did not care what their parents thought of them, because when in this respect, they wanted to be with Krishna. They knew that Krishna was their all-encompassing, all-beloved lover, the one who is most worthy of their love. And so at night when they wanted to go to Krishna, and their parents or their brothers or their or their uncles would try to stop them, they ignored them. Now, in Vedic culture, that's pretty heavy-duty stuff, to ignore your parents. You can get ostracized and even thrown out of the household. It's considered rather sinful. Not like today. We can go out anytime you want. So what happened was that the gopis would meet with Krishna, and they never cared what would happen to them. If they would lose the respect, the honor, or the good words of their parents, it didn't matter to them. The only thing that mattered was to be with Krishna. So their love was pure. They never expected anything from him. All they wanted to do was be with him and serve him. And how did they serve him? Well, some would play music on their on instruments. Some would sing to him. Some would prepare cakes for him. Some would massage his feet. Some would just look beautiful for him so that his eyes could be pleased by their beauty. They would dress themselves very gorgeously, not for their own sense gratification or so that Krishna could say, "Oh, you look so beautiful." It wasn't for that. They wanted to just dazzle his eyeballs in such a way that they would be pleased. They would be satisfied. They would be delighted. They wanted to delight Krishna in any which way they could. That was their only goal. So, therefore, the gopis of Vrindavan, with a special reference to Srimati Radharani, who is the chief of the gopis, he was more dear to Krishna than all the others because her love for him was more intense, more pure, more overwhelming. Now, originally, I'm getting a lot of light here. I need some. Okay, I'm going to have to face it in this direction because it's right in my eyes. Sorry. So what happened was that originally Krishna had a male manifestation and female. He was composed of both. And it was one person, but the female was hidden. But when he wanted to enjoy pleasure, more pleasure than he normally had, because Krishna, as we all know, is blissful. Anybody have a pair of sunglasses? Should have brought them. Okay, that helps. Good. We have an engineer here. That always helps. Thank you very much. So what happened was that when Krishna wanted to experience more joy, more bliss, more happiness than he normally would, he needed a partner, and the partner would be the female aspect of him, and he manifested this female aspect so that she would know, since she was part of him, exactly what she would have to do to make him feel blissful, happy, joyful, more so than he normally would be. For example, in the ocean, you have waves, 3, 4, 5 foot waves. Then there are 10-foot waves, 20-foot waves, 50-foot waves. So Krishna wanted to experience 50, 100-foot waves, and she knew how to do it. She knew how to cook for him. She knew how to speak in a way that completely enthralled him, enlivened him, uplifted him. So he was very much keen on understanding how this woman, this beautiful, gorgeous woman named Radha or Radhika, how she could love him so much. He was curious. And then his curiosity became a preoccupation. It wasn't just, what does her love feel like? I mean, it's so intense. It became more so. I don't know what it feels like because she's the lover and I'm the beloved. I can feel her love, but I don't know what it feels like to have so much love. And in order for me to have so much love, I'd have to be her. And so what happened was Lord Chaitanya, before he was even appearing, and when he appeared in a golden color, which is the same color as Srimati Radharani appeared in. This was the upsurge of her sentiments and her complexion. So that upsurge manifested in a golden color, although underneath, so to speak, was the black Krishna. It's the same person. Person said, the same person? Yes, same person. Let me give you an analogy. You're on the stage and you're playing a part, okay? And the part is an old man and you're bent over And you're talking in a very old voice like that. You all heard my tape, so nothing new. So you're talking as an old man, and everybody believes you're that old man. And then, but there wasn't enough actors to play some of the younger guys, and you're actually young. So you take off your beard, you take off the makeup, all that other stuff, and then you come back on in scene two. Hey, guys, what's happening? Looks good to me. Same person. But who would think that that was the same person who was speaking, I'm just an old man, so don't you doubt that. So who would think it? So Krishna is the foremost and best and greatest of actors. Nobody can compare to him. I mentioned one of my classes a few days ago, is that when they give out the Emmys and the Academy Awards, nobody seems to say, you know, they say, thanks, Mom, thanks, Dad, thanks, director, thanks, producer, thanks, writer, thanks, associate artist. Nobody thanks Krishna, who is the source of the talent. He doesn't even get an honorable mention. Poor Krishna. No, poor actors. Because by not glorifying the actual source of your ability, eventually you lose that. Eventually you get older. Eventually you can't do what you used to do. People don't applaud you. People don't glorify you. People don't honor you. People don't even remember you. Consequently, what happens is that you fade into insignificance. When we fade, it's very depressing. Makes us feel very down in the throat. We become dejected. And when that happens, what happens? You take the alcohol, you take the drugs, you know, cocaine, or you go to heroin or marijuana or whatever, so that you don't have to feel the misery of feeling small again. You want to feel big, great, grand, but we don't. Nobody's honoring us. Nobody's applauding us. So this is very unfortunate. Fortunately, we have this Hare Krishna mantra, and when you chant it, as I said before, you associate with Krishna. And when we associate with Krishna, how wonderful it is, because we associate with peace, with joy, with love, with strength, with confidence. We associate with the most beautiful person, the most peaceful person. And by associating, we gradually begin to assume those qualities. And when we have those qualities, we think differently, we feel differently, we act differently, we do differently. Our entire life is different as a result of those feelings and the decisions that we make. Can we have the talk taken outside, please? Because people are trying to hear without distraction. Thank you very much. I mean, no offense, but after all, it is a talk. Hare Krishna. So, anyway, coming on with the... I'm going to end this up right now. It's at the end. So... anyway, what happened is that Lord Chaitanya, he came in this yellow color or golden color, and he manifested. He wanted to find out exactly what Srimati Radharani, what her love was like. He wanted to feel like what his own sweetness was like, and he wanted to find out what her bliss felt like. So in this mood and in the complexion and in the rasa of Srimati Radharani, he experienced all of this, because he, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, combining Radha and Krishna in himself, loved Krishna the way Srimati Radharani did. And he then experienced the fullness of love. He knew what it felt like to love the way she did Krishna. He knew what his sweetness tasted like, and he knew what his bliss felt like. So that was the second reason he came, and therefore, having satisfied that, he went on going deeper and deeper into this love of Krishna, which we get in the Antya Leela. And by the way, we do sell this Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have it in 8 volumes. I also, for those who want to listen to it, I also have it CDs here, which I recorded the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'll say nothing further. There's no time for questions. I want to thank you all very much for being a very attentive a congregation. It's my pleasure to share this with you, and I pray and beg that all of you will experience that wonderful bliss, that wonderful peace, that wonderful love that Lord Chaitanya came here to give us all. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All right. Thank you.
Haribo.
Namaste, Sarasati Devi, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, Pashyatari Shatarine. Jayate Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Krishna.
Is that loud enough for you? People ask if you're
going to go. That's so loud, yeah.
Jaya Jai